All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to find 1 Peter, the third chapter today. We're going to be considering verses 1 through 6 today. And we're bringing a message entitled, Real Beauty is More Than Skin Deep. Now, have you ever heard that statement before? Have you heard that statement? Beauty is more than skin deep. I know I've heard it probably when I was in my elementary school years, and I'm 51 years of age. And what I have found that some of these things that we know that are true, and everyone knows that real beauty is more than skin deep, are really rooted in scriptural foundations. So that's why I've asked you to find 1 Peter, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6, because that's where we're going to be considering some things today from God's Word. Now, if you take and Google that word beauty, what you will find is that there are 1.5 billion websites. That's billion with a B, okay? That come up associated with that idea of beauty. Here's something that is almost universally true. It's true for men. It's true for women as well. Every person wants to be attractive. Now, did everyone comb their hair that had hair today, right? Right, we did, didn't we? Yeah, I see your hand there. You did comb your hair. Most of us put something on today to be halfway presentable in front of other folks, correct? Whether you're man or woman. I have some cologne that my son has bought me, and I've heard a couple comments about it from different people. And I can't remember what the name of it is, but it does smell good. So not only did I want to look good, I wanted to smell good today. And that's why I'm wearing Right Guard as well. All right. Whether you're 60 or whether you're 15, you want to look beautiful. And if you're 60 or if you're 50, like I am, 51 or maybe even 35 or 40, don't you want to look 10 or 15 years younger? Isn't it a compliment when someone says to you, "Well, I didn't think you were 50 years old." But you don't want to hear him say, "I thought you were 60. Our society has really turned this whole idea, though, of beauty into a bad thing, a bad cultural thing. I think there's nothing wrong with striving to be beautiful or to at least being physically pleasant to the eye. But I think we need to realize that we need to seek for it in the right way. And may I be bold enough to say this today. We need to seek for beauty, real beauty, in a godly way. And as the pastor of this church, that's why I'm here today. So today, I want us to unpackage three ways that we can be beautiful. And if you have your bulletin, I hope you were handed a bulletin by one of our greeters here today. You're going to see there's an outline in there. And we're going to talk about there are three ways that we can be beautiful. One way is that we can be born beautiful. The other way is we can buy beauty. And the third way, which is the way that we really want to focus on, we can become beautiful. So I want you to find, if you've not found it already, 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. And we're going to make some comments about this as we read into this, starting in verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Now let me stop there for a moment. Listen to me, men, and listen to me, women. On this Mother's Day, a wife only has to be submissive to her husband, not to me or anybody else. So you ladies who are school teachers or your executives or your nurses or whatever, I was in the hospital this past week. When the nurse told me to get into a gown, you know what I did? I was submissive to her, and I got into a gown. You know, when the Bible tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, to be submissive to one another. So that does not mean, when this says in the passage of Scripture, that wives be submissive to their husband. It doesn't mean every husband. It means your own husband. So you do not have to kowtow or cower in the presence of any other man that you come into. In fact, you don't have to kowtow or cower when you come into the presence of your husband. And we're going to talk about that and what it looks like today. So when you see this, don't buy in to the lie that some people have tried to perpetrate that women are second-class citizens. No, the Bible, when you see that word submissive, it just simply means to place things in order. So let's look on. That even if some do not obey the word, they will, without a word, be won by the conduct of their wives. Verse 2, when they observe your chastened conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment, now here's where the beauty thing comes in, be merely outward. It doesn't forbid us adorning ourselves, looking beautiful, but it says don't let it be only the arranging of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Now, out of the heart proceedeth who we are. What comes out of us is what is in us. And so if you're going to be beautiful, it starts from within. Now, let's go on. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and not afraid with any terror. Now may God bless the reading of his word today. And here's your first point today. Let's look at the first one, being born beautiful. There are some people that are just born beautiful. In fact, isn't it one of the celebrities, Tom Cruise and Katie, what's her name? Katie what? Combs? Okay, yeah. Their little baby, Siri, my wife has told me constantly, that is like the most beautiful baby in the whole world. And I think they get like $1 million a crack for a picture of that child. Some people are just born with natural beauty. It comes from probably good genetics, maybe some other things as well. But some of the phrases that are used to describe beautiful are this way. Why do we say, wow? Or we say, that person's gorgeous. Toby Keith uses the word hottie. Do you know what that means, hottie? Well, that means they're easy on the eyes, okay? So I want you to know that the Bible does mention clearly that there are women of great physical beauty. I think about Adam, when he had that opportunity to feast his eyes on his wife, Eve. You know what I think he said? I think he said, wow. Because men, think about it. Think about the day that you saw your wife on your wedding day. Didn't you say, wow? Didn't you feel like the luckiest man in the whole wide world? I know I did, and I know I still do. So, Abraham's wife, Sarah, that name means princess. She was described in Genesis 12 chapter, verse 9, as a woman of beauty countenance. Esther, if you read the book of Esther, you find out that she was able to become the queen of Persia and save the remnant of Israel from Haman and his gallows because of her beauty, her striking beauty above other women. And if you read the Song of Solomon, which I recommend that couples read the Song of Solomon. Why? Because it's a love manual book. And in that book, you'll see the Shuhamite woman. She's described, her hair is beautiful. He talks about her teeth being beautiful. Then he goes a little bit below the neckline describing this lady. She's a beautiful woman. But we need to know that just being born beautiful can be just this mixed blessing in our life. There's a guy by the name of Willis J. Abbott who wrote a book about notable women in history. And in this book, he writes 73 short biographies about women who were ranked very high predominantly in our history. Okay, out of the 29, out of the 70, excuse me, three of those women, 29 of them were rated as somebody that would be of great beauty. Okay, now you take those 29, 18 of them, over half of them, met with violent deaths. So mixed bag about being beautiful. What I have seen in some surveys that I've looked at and just doing a conglomeration of these surveys is this. That beautiful women sometimes have more personal problems than others. All we have to do is watch the Bravo Network, right? And on some of these shows, not that I watch that stuff too much, but, you know, it's a circus, isn't it? Isn't it a circus? Jokingly enough, my wife, when we were at a Southern Baptist convention in Louisville, Duane, my wife said she was going to approach Bravo with a show about Southern Baptist pastors' wives and see how that goes because some of the ladies that she met down there. But the reality is that they have sometimes more personal problems. Sometimes they have unhappiness. And over women that we would say were just average beauty. So the reality is, and here it is, don't miss this. The reality is being born beautiful is really sometimes not all that it's cracked up to be. It can cost us. It can hurt us. And invariably, if you feel that your beauty is going to open doors for you, they very well may open some doors for you, but those doors will be shut very, very quickly. So we see that we can be born beautiful, but I also want us to know that we can buy beauty. Now let's go back to our text here. Look at verse 3. It says this about buying beauty. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arraying of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on fine apparel. This campaign snippet came out back when Sarah Palin was being touted as the VP for the Republican side of our election a few years back. And some people didn't like Sarah Palin. I don't know whether you do or don't. Really not much of a point now to it anyway. But one person, a rival of hers, said this. It's like putting lipstick on a pig. That was a reference to her. The fact of the matter is, when we try to adorn something that really isn't beautiful, it is the idea of putting lipstick on a pig. How can I say that? Well, let's look at some of the facts of the matter here. If you look at cosmetic products, and just a few years back, Mary Kay Cosmetic reported this, that they had $2.6 billion in sales. Well, it doesn't stop there now. There are untold billions of dollars that are spent each year alone on plastic surgery procedures. And those procedures range from just $2,000, which is a lot of money, up to somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000. Things that men and women do to make themselves look better. Now even children are doing to make themselves look better. And they range from lip augmentation. No, I don't know if we have anybody that's done that here. Got a little Botox injection in the lip to make them look fuller or whatever. I don't know that I would do that. A good punch in the mouth would succeed with that, I would think. But there's even this whole idea of a complete body makeover. And, you know, at 51 years of age, I don't think there's much more that they can make over on me. It's downhill from here. But buying beauty is nothing new. And I want to give you my literal of verse 3, the first part of verse 3. Do not let your displaying be outward only. Because the outward won't last. Beauty aids that are offered in a society and around the world have been around for a long time. Whether someone likes long hair or what someone likes short hair, most people want their teeth white. Let me recommend to you Crest White Strips. They do work. If you want your skin to be brown, you don't even have to go in the sun for your skin to be brown. You can go to a tanning booth, and you can stand in that tanning booth, and you can be sprayed. And if they do a good job, you won't look orange. You'll look tan. And think about it. We buy jewelry that we can promote a better self-image about ourselves. Why do we wear necklaces? Why do we wear earrings? Why do we put rings on or whatever? We do that so we can project this self-image about ourselves. But we all need to realize that buying beauty really does have a lot of disadvantages to it. There's a number of reasons that buying beauty isn't super sound advice. One, is it expensive? Now, how many of you are willing to go spend $20,000 to change your looks? I hope none of you. I hope none of you. Because that is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And we've seen the costs associated with that. Altering oneself can sometimes be temporal at best. Well, this looks good at this time. But now it doesn't look so good 2 years later. You know, most of these things trend for a couple years, and then they dissipate. 2 short years go by, and you've bought something at the price tag of maybe $20,000 or $25,000. You're stuck with it now, and it's no longer in vogue. It's out of style. Friend, the Bible is teaching us that these things are always superficial. Superficial at best. And it really doesn't teach that we're approaching life in the right way. Here's what I know to be true. You can never fool those who are closest to you about who you really are by adorning yourself in some cosmetic way. Christ spoke about that in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 27. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," he says. You know what the word hypocrite means? It means someone that is putting on an act. "For you like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautifully outward, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness." Now, I want to be clear that I am not, and I believe the Bible is not, more importantly, condemning anyone's attempt to improve themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand that if you want to be a saintly mother, it's not synonymous with buying things to make yourself a saintly mother. And by the way, being a saintly mother is not synonymous with ugliness. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to see how we can be beautiful and have this striking personal appearance without really doing anything on the outside. It comes from the inside. But I remember a few years back, Dr. James Vernon McGee was approached by one of the ladies in his church who was really adamantly against doing any kind of makeup or doing any kind of cosmetic thing at all. And she approached Dr. McGee and said, "You know, Dr. McGee, I just want to be up front and let you know that I'm not for that." And he said, he looked at her and he said these words to her, "Ma'am, if your barn needs to be painted, then you need to paint it." So we want to be clear about it, that it's not an imperative here, that we're not going to adorn ourselves. We're not going to put our lipstick on, which I'm not going to, by the way. Although I did wear makeup here one time, believe it or not. It was a few years back. They put makeup on me. And you know why they did that? Because we had some kind of screen up here, and to be able to be seen, you had to have makeup on. I was part of a play. So I didn't like it. Made my skin break out. But the reality of it is that things are relative when it comes to this buying stuff. Don't get caught up in that. So here's where I want to focus at today. Becoming beautiful. And see, this is just not only for our moms here today. It's about everyone here today. Now, as I do sometimes, I try to look culturally where these things are at in our society. And as an expository preacher, you know, I'm challenged to do that. And I did some research on this message and found this terminology about a series of plastic surgeries that are called mommy makeovers. Okay? That's where mommy goes in, and mommy is totally rearranged from her toe down to the crown of her head. And the idea of a mommy makeover is to make mommy feel good about herself. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying from the outside make you feel good about your inside. Well, let me say to you today that that's not what the Bible teaches. The Word of God tells us if we're going to become beautiful, regardless if we're a mother or if we are a father here today or a grandparent, beauty starts from within. See, the infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God says that beauty starts from the inside. So look back at verse 4. He says, "Rather," here's the way it should be, "let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Let me read a couple paraphrased translations of that verse here today. The Phillips Bible says, "Your beauty should not be dependent on your elaborate coiffure or the wearing of jewelry or fine clothes, but the inner personality." The New English Bible says, "Your beauty should not reside not in outward adornment, but in the innermost center of your being." Let's distill that down this morning. It doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. Amen? That's where real beauty comes from. This is the kind of beauty that you're not born with as a baby. You can't buy this beauty. But my dear friend, I want you to understand, man, woman, or child, you can become beautiful. You can have a face that's transformed from a plain face to a face that glows with inner beauty, with an inner light, because of the Word of God and Jesus Christ being in your life. Kids show this counts. Kids do. You know, I didn't ask permission to say this, Beth, but I'll go ahead and say it now, and I'll apologize for it later. I was with Beth and Curtis as he was getting his foot worked on, and Beth had shared something with me about her Grady. And she said the other day, you know, Grady's a challenge, which all kids are a challenge. But she said that Grady the other day looked at her and said, "Mommy," and this is right, right? This is what she said to you. "You look just like Cinderella." Didn't he say that? Now, moms, have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that from your kid, that your child said you're beautiful? You know, my mother's beautiful to me. She is. She's a beautiful woman. What they found is they took a group of fourth graders, a school teacher. We're talking 9-10-year-olds. And the assignment, they were given that essay assignment. And the words that started out in the essay assignment just simply said this: "My mother is." And then they were to write about their mom. Well, invariably, every one of the little boys and every little girl would say things like, "My mother is beautiful. My mother's lovely." And the teacher took the time to visually inspect the mothers of these kids. And what she found, that there was no one there of real striking beauty, no one that was this, you know, someone that we would see on the cover of Vogue somewhere. These were just average people. What she found was that these children could look at their mother and say she was beautiful because of not what was on the outside, but it was what was on the inside. Do you know what children respond to? Children respond to warmth. They respond to security. They respond to acceptance. At 51 years of age, I can tell you today that my mother is still beautiful to me. This past week, I battled a kidney stone. Don't want to do that ever again. Man, I got the t-shirt, done that, and I never want to see that again. But if I ever have to do it again, my mother, she said this to me as I called her. She said, "Son, I love you, and if I could take that pain for you, I would." I see you shaking your head, Don. Now, some of you mothers know that. When you see your kid fall down, see him scrape, get hurt, there's not a one of you here that wouldn't say, "I'll take that for you." And boy, isn't that an example of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is. Mothers will bear up under things that dads will say, "You know what, you live through it." So here's what my observation is from study of the Bible and from observation of people, because I do observe people. Our opinion of people should be dependent more of what they are on the inside than what they are on the outside. So today, some of us are beautiful people. There's no doubt in this audience today there's some very attractive people here. But most of you are probably like me. You're sort of middle of the road. You're not going to break a mirror, and you're not going to have to tie a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to play with you. But we're not going to be at a cover of a magazine somewhere, right? I want you to understand, to have the real beauty, just like little Grady saw in his mom, just like these fourth graders saw in their mother, just like I see in my mother as well, to have this kind of beauty, you got to get it from God. Fact of it is, we are created beautiful in God's image, but sin has destroyed that image. Boy, if you watch some of the things that are going on in society today, what the idea of what beauty is, it's just so wrong. See, sin's destroyed the idea of beauty. So what has to happen is there has to be a transformation. There has to be a transformation that can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. John, the third chapter, verse 7, Jesus said this, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Real beauty starts internally. There has to be a rebirth of us in our hearts. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become as new." Christ doesn't change our nose. Christ doesn't change our figure or any other part of our body. But what he does is that he comes on the inside and he makes us whole. He makes us his own. And that begins to permeate out of our lives. This becomes increasingly true as we go down life's road, if we truly are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, truly surrender to him. So today, the challenge is not only for the mothers, but it's for every one of us. Let the beauty of Christ be seen in you. Whenever I'm paid a compliment, and I'm paid one from time to time, not about my looks, because they're average in nature, but whenever I'm paid, "Boy, you're a good pastor," or "Boy, you really love your people," you know, all I can say is Jesus. Because Mark Wilson's a scoundrel. Mark Wilson, the true Mark Wilson, aside of Jesus, couldn't trust his best 15 minutes to get him into heaven. It's only Jesus Christ. So let me talk about the characteristics. Look back at verse 2. "When you observe the chastened conduct by fear," the first part of this verse is telling us about godliness through acceptance. Our Christ as our Lord and Savior will help us develop a healthy respect for those around us, help us develop a respect for God and his creation. The next part of the verse talks about being faithful to your spouse. I feel challenged to say this again this Sunday. We need to be faithful to the one that we're called to be with. Period. Infidelity is a horrible, horrible thing in a ministry. It's a horrible thing in society. And the way that it's been made light of is just atrocious in the eyes of God. And I want to be clear, too. The way that we have tried to redefine, society has redefined marriage, it's still not right. Marriage is still between a man and a woman. Now, they can call it whatever they want to call it from the Washington, D.C., but the fact of the matter is, one man, one woman, that's God's idea. And it shouldn't surprise us that society has tried to redefine that, because they redefined it as early as the second or third generation after Adam. We as Christians, we need to stand up and say, it is one man, it is one woman. Amen? So, let's look at verse 4, its characteristics. "Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." This doesn't mean that you don't have to be without opinions. As I stated earlier, ladies, you do not have to be submissive to other husbands unless he's a police officer, and I would advise you submit. If I get pulled over by a lady police officer, I'm not going to say, "You know what? God has given me authority over you because I'm like the top of creation." You know what? That's going to be like an extra ticket for being stupid. Right? And as I said, I was in the hospital this past Thursday back at the ER at B North. When that lady walked in and said, "You need to get this gown on," I got the gown on. I didn't really want to, but I know that I had to. Why? Because she was the charge nurse. And she was going to put some knots on my head if I didn't get that gown on. All right. Doesn't mean you're without opinions. Doesn't mean that you're not without input. You are. There are ladies here that are part of this ministry that are vital, needed. They undergird what's going on. CPAs. Children's specialists, all these things. We submit to them. We listen to them. We fall under their authority in some sense of the word. So let me challenge the ladies here to have temperament, patience, love, disposition, humor, be affectionate to your family. Because in a world that is brash and full of strife, Christian mothers are the one area that can make a difference in society. Why? Because they provide sensitivity, they provide tenderness. And the Bible teaches us that that is a beauty that will never fade. My mother now is in her 70s. I still describe her as beautiful. It's a beauty that will never fade. Look back at verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The Greek word there, incorruptible, means not capable of corruption. So get the picture here. Whether you're man, woman, or child, if God is in your heart, the outside may get tarnished up, but what is on the inside can never be taken away. Amen? That's exactly what the scripture is implying to us today. So, dear friend, what God has done for you through faith in his dear son can never be tarnished, can never be changed. The outward may look bad at times, but the inward will remain the same. You might not be living your salvation right now, but that doesn't change the fact of what God has done for you in your heart. And so if you're not living out your salvation right now, regardless of your mom or dad or grandparent or child, let me challenge you today to realize what God has done for you and start allowing that inner beauty to be seen again in your life. So let me give you today's takeaways. And these are true. Natural beauty will diminish with time. You know, poor old Joan Rivers, I don't know how many times she's had her face stretched back, but somewhere down the road they're going to run out of real estate in the back of her head. Amen. And this doesn't look natural. Inner beauty can continue to improve. As we go along life's way, as we allow God to live out through us, we can become more beautiful. Let me say a word about my pastor, Pastor Bob Skirvin. He's one of the most beautiful people that I know. He is. Now, he's not been able to attend for a couple years, but he and I are still close. I see Bob as a beautiful person. Why? Because he loves the Lord and he loves me. And he's always been gracious to me. Our relationship has continued to improve. Now, Bob's gotten older. Bob can't see so well. Bob can't do the things that he used to do. But he's still a beautiful and godly man to me. Third thing, God's standard of beauty is never out of style. Amen? So, real beauty, it is more than just this skin deep thing. As a child, I remember hearing that statement. Real beauty is more than skin deep. Ugly goes all the way to the bone, doesn't it? But a personal relationship with Christ can make a mommy, it can make a daddy completely made over again, made anew in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite artists today is a group by the name of Gunner. Am I saying that right, Matt? Gunger. They have a song entitled Beautiful Things. We've sang that song here at this church. Does anybody remember that song, Beautiful Things? It's sort of folky. It's acoustical guitar and just, you know, the congos kind of thing. I won't sing it to you today, but I will read it. Yeah, somebody's laughing at that. As Dwayne's, what did you say this morning, Dwayne? If it's about music, the sound, if it's not, if it's offensive to the ear, what was that? All right, Dwayne said this morning. He said, if it's not pleasant to the ear, it can't be a blessing to the heart. So I won't sing. All right, but let me read to you this song, part of the song, Beautiful Things. Here's what it says. All this pain, I wonder if I will ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from the ground at all? And the chorus goes this way. You, meaning God, make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. Would you stand with me and bow in prayer, please? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's able to make us wise unto salvation. It's a lamp unto our feet. And today, Father, we pray that a challenge has been brought by the Holy Spirit himself, not by this church, not by even this pastor, but by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking to the minds and the hearts of those that are here. And Lord, I'm praying that someone here today is reflecting upon their relationship with Jesus Christ. Is it really there? And if it's not really there, that they're going to stop doing the external things and start with this one internal thing, asking Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And that's where real beauty begins, trusting Jesus, allowing him to be our Lord and Savior, realizing that we can't trust any good in ourselves, but we have to trust him to come inside of us, to make us whole, to redeem us, and to set us on the path that will lead us to eternal life. So I pray today that if there are some in this audience that haven't done that, that they will. That they will allow God to make that beautiful thing out of the dust. That they will allow God to make something beautiful out of them. And I just simply ask that your word would go to its intended receiver, and we have the most unique promise in all of literature that it will not return void. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.